brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
The Maverick aircraft, sometimes called a flying car, looks like a dune buggy on the ground and like a powered parachute in the air. It's been attracting attention at Air Venture and other shows for a couple of years now, and last week it got its LSA approval. Hi, I'm Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Troy Townsend. He's the design manager for iTech, the Orlando company that is developing the project.
Can you explain a little bit to me about this aircraft and how it works and how it operates, you know, as both on the road and in the air, just briefly?
Sure. It's a tubular chromoly steel frame. It's it's a car over the road, and it's a kind of a high technological powered parachute in the air. So on the road, you can take it on the highway. It'll drive highway speeds. We drove it all the way from Florida to Oshkosh this last Oshkosh season, 1,400 miles. It does well on the highway. It'll maintain highway speeds. I think we clocked around 93 on this trip down the highway. It's one of our top speeds. On the ground, on the wheel drive, it's got one engine and two transmissions. So on the wheel drive, it's a CBT drive. So it's just like an automatic transmission on the ground. And it's really fast. It'll beat most sports cars off the line. It'll do 0 to 60 in 3.9 seconds. It's a really hot car. I mean, you can think of it as a rail car, a dune buggy, or a street car on however you do the suspension and have whatever tires you put on it. And in the air, it flies like a powered parachute, but it's easier than a powered parachute because the controls are all integrated to the same controls as driving. So basically, to fly it, you have two controls. You have the steering wheel, and you have the throttle, or the foot pedal. In the air, it's also a fly-by-wire steering system. So basically, it's steered electrically to control the brake lines on the parachute.
So basically, when you turn the wheel, you're sending an electrical signal to the control wires.
That's
on the parachute.
Okay. That's right. It's basically a feedback system that controls. It's basically two servo motors running through a motor control board and running a stepper motor program.
I see.
In whatever position the steering wheel is, and we'll send the coding to the software. So if you turn the steering wheel really fast, the parachute will turn very fast. If you turn it slow, it'll turn slow. If you turn it a little bit, you'll turn a little bit. If you turn it a lot, you'll turn a lot. It's very intuitive.
And the speed is controlled by the foot pedal, just like a throttle.
Well, it's basic powered parachute technology. There is pretty much a constant speed vehicle in the air. So basically, adding throttle will just make you ascend. And a certain RPM, you'll stay straight and level. And then a certain lesser RPM, you'll start descending. So powered parachutes, they're more controlled by weight than anything. The weight will change the forward speed just a little bit, but pretty much it's a constant speed vehicle in the air. And it flies around 40 miles an hour in the air.
So how crashworthy is it? Does it have to have airbags and all that to be certified for the road? And how about survivability, if it crashes from the air?
We did not take the federal certified route. We've done quite a bit of testing. We have a crush front end and a crush seat, and also you're inside of a roll cage. But we do not have airbags and those type of things. This is licensed over the road as a kit car. So most states in the USA either allow kit cars or some form of those. And so far we've had no problems getting it licensed under that category. There is a couple of states that frown on kit cars, but they have no problem with motorcycles. And we have a fix for that also, as this can become a three-wheel version. And then in those two states, you can license it as a motorcycle.
So you were recently okayed to sell these aircraft as an LSA, but are you planning to sell kits at first as ELSAs, or will you be producing SLSAs? What are your plans?
You know, we're going to do both. In the near future, we're going to have a builder assist program as an ELSA, because we really want to work with the customer so they really understand the aircraft. The first several we get out there, we want to make sure that they get built correctly and built the way we want them built. So we're going to have the customer come here to Florida. It's to be a really quick builder assist program. It's pretty much an SLSA that we're making an ELSA that we want them to understand some major components of the aircraft and car before we let it go, just for our own assurances that when these things get out in the field, that the customer really understands the capabilities of it, how to maintain it, how to set it up, how to drive it, how to fly it, those things.
And does it require any kind of, you know, different sort of maintenance than you might have for a regular, you know, powered parachute or a smaller craft?
You know, not probably less. The engine is automotive-based. It's a Subaru EJ22 or EJ25 engine. It's been a very, very solid package for us in testing. We designed this thing basically for the lower Amazon and abroad. It really wasn't designed for commercial use, but we've had a lot of interest commercially. So our basically design strategy was to build this thing so if things failed, it can be field fixable. Somebody can find a local hardware store, auto parts store, or make parts for it. It does not have a lot of complicated parts on it. It's got some pretty interesting technologies on it, and there are certain parts that would have to come from us down the road, but we've really designed this more as a rail car durable dune buggy that anybody with a little bit of mechanics could probably work on themselves.
So if you're driving along in this vehicle in car mode and you want to switch to flight mode, what's involved in doing that?
Well, right now it takes, we're working on the easy button. We're not quite there yet. Right now the transition, if you're really good at it, can do it in about 5 minutes. Newcomers usually take about 10 minutes, and about the third time they get it down to about 5 or 6 minutes. Basically, you put the ground transmission into neutral. You switch over. Also, you switch the transition from ground drive to propeller drive, which that's basically a lever and a switch to do those two things. That just takes a matter of seconds. You unzip the storage bag on top of the unit. You fold out the folding telescoping spar of the parachute. You attach the mast. You raise the mast up on the craft. You attach the spar to the rigging, you telescope the parachute out, and then you hoist the parachute up the spar, just like a sailboat sail. If you think of a sailboat sail, but instead of vertically, it's horizontal. And you hoist it up, you tether it off, and you're ready to fly. You get back in, and you're ready to fly.
Okay, well, congratulations on getting your approval, and good luck with going forward from here.
Well, thank you very much, Mary.
So this has been Mary Grady for AvWeb talking with Troy Townsend of iTech. For more information about this aircraft, you can go to mavericklsa.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.